Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, welcome to Dating Intelligence, the podcast where we give relationship advice from dating to marriage and everything else in between, and always with the goal of helping you to continuously be the best you at all times.
So if you're looking for real, honest information to help you navigate your relationships, we've got you covered.
We've got you covered. Hello, hello guys out there. Another episode, another day. You know, I feel like that we should probably just start getting the intros. I've always felt this way. Maybe the intros should just be just...
Pre-recorded,
but it doesn't match this.
No.
This is so much more fun.
Because you stare at me and make fun of
me. You laugh. I just want to make you crack up all the time. I'm like waiting for it, and I try to diversify that whole thing and just make it different, you know, make it a little more variety, but you always get it every time.
I mean, I almost lost it.
I know.
I almost just stared at you like, what do you want me to say?
All right, guys, we're at the Sticky Paw Studios in Las Vegas, and welcome to another show. Jamie, what have you been up to, if I may ask?
Oh my gosh. I've actually been home for a few days, so that's been nice. Taking a little time off. I finally finished my knife in Asheville. So here it is from start to finish.
It's so
Microtech.
Great.
Yes.
Will they make replicas of that, by the way?
So this one is already made. It's actually a collaboration piece between Microtech and Bastinelli knives. So this was their collaboration piece, and this is the one that I chose to build from like start to finish. So I got to grind the blade, polish it, the hardware, everything.
Man, how many hours do you think that took about, by the way?
Gosh, this took me a couple months.
Okay. In theory, put hours into that though. What do you think? Like maybe, I don't know, 300 hours?
For like
200? That's a lot.
I just, it took me a long time. Very detailed, like down to like the screws. They were all done on, like we grinded them in a machine. Like I fired this here to give it like the color. So definitely learned a lot. As far as like a blade for us, maybe next year, but not this year.
You mean for us?
I could do a blade for us.
A dating intelligence blade.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll cut you, girl. That's what it's put on the side of it.
Definitely not California compliant. Wow. I believe this would probably, this is a felony in your state. So.
All right. Yeah. I'm not bringing that back over state lines. Trust me.
But
me
especially. What about you? What's new with you?
You know,
look at this big watch.
I know. This is my favorite watch. I wear this all the time here. I was almost thinking about wearing my big fat red watch today, but I opted out on that one. So. Okay. Said I figured I'd wear a red shirt instead. So, all right. Well, no, I mean, I'm just trudging along. It's summertime. You know, tennis is starting to get a little crazy, and there's a lot of traveling. The podcast is doing great. We need to try to set up I'm saying this on air right now. Do another pool party here. I think we need to set one of those up.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be better than even last year because there's going to be more people out since COVID's kind of hopefully slowing down a little bit. And I think it's time.
Okay.
Check in one of the other hotels.
Yeah, I love it. We have a few that have reached out to us that would love to have us. So, we can definitely talk about that. And
All right, take the show on the road.
Fun.
Yeah, we got the show on the road coming up a lot too. So, all right, we're gonna bring our guest in because she's just sitting there looking all right, poised and ready
she's
to
probably
talk.
Confused, like,
she's chomping at the bit
happening?
Over there, like it's like a racehorse trying to get out of the gate. She's like, I'm ready. I'm kidding. Okay, so our guest today is a family medical doctor who not only knows a thing or two about the curing the common cold, but also knows how to just take care of people. With her growing social media presence that not only captures her stunning beauty and positive outlook on life, but she also wants to help make sure that you're focusing on your own remedy of positive energy, self-care, and clean beauty. All I can say about this incredible woman is that she can take my temperature anytime. Please welcome the gorgeous Dr. Medina Culver to the show.
Thank you guys so much. Hi. I'm blushing now. That was such a good intro. I've never had such a good intro. That was great.
I tried to do my best. Thank you very much.
I'm going to need to steal that so I can just give that to people.
I'll slide this over to you and the show's over. You
please,
can have
that'd
it.
Be perfect.
So when they ask you for like, do you have an intro you want? Like, yes, this is the one here.
Please read it word for word.
And I'll say it one more time, people. She can take my temperature any time.
Oh my
time.
Gosh.
What?
Chris.
What? I'm just saying she can, you know?
Oh my gosh.
Why do you think I have all the guests next to me all the time? I told this in the previous episode. I love all the guests facing me this way.
Yeah. No. Oh, did she come over here to this side?
No. Well, I mean, there was an option. I said, no.
Me.
And what did
me.
I say?
What did they say?
I said, I don't care. Whichever you want.
Actually, oh.
And he was like,
I kind of
Jamie
intervened.
Wants you to sit across.
I kind of intervened.
I mean, typically if they're by me, it's weird because they've always been over here. So we had a guest one time sit on this side.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was like, it was so awkward for me. So I'm like, can we put him over there? And
yeah.
They were like, oh. What, you don't want to be by me? And I'm like, I think I'm used to this.
Exactly.
But yeah. You're used to this.
Because your chair is set up differently,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I feel like you're across from me. So as soon as someone's
completely.
Over here... I don't, it feels weird.
Well,
and
either way, I just
Sharon
like having
Stone
him over here.
I was going to say, right?
Producer.
I was going to say.
She, you know what she likes
like,
to do?
Like, I was in a skirt, and I'm like, I don't want to be, like, sitting this way, so.
But she always gets up and shows her boots or her clothes, so it's perfect because it's an easy access, and the camera's right there
yeah,
for you to see anyway. So.
Not,
you can't have anyone in your way.
Right.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
But check out these shoes today, you guys.
See, those, see this
good.
Is what happens, and I can't do this from my
end. These are my Louis
Vuittons. Those are great.
You guys both have a great shoe game.
Oh,
you guys
thank
are
you. Thank
yeah,
you very much.
You guys are doing great. I saw your Nikes over there. Don't be shy.
They're not nearly. What are those golden boots?
I would pick my foot up, but I might kick you in the face.
His long
these
leg.
Are these are folding gooses,
oh.
So they have the little. Oh wait, look, they have the little symbol.
Ooh,
on
there you go. No, those are good.
There you go. Thanks. Thanks, Chase.
Yeah.
Oh, right over there. All right, this is going to be a fun show today already. So, all right, Medina, let's start. We're going to jump right in this. So you're a family practitioner.
I am, yes.
How many years practicing now, if we may ask?
I have been practicing for 7 years now.
That's great. And
yeah.
You have your own practice, is this right? Or are you with...
I'm actually with somebody. So a really cool thing that they did here in Vegas is the union. So things like firefighters, plumbers and pipe fitters, electricians, they basically took concierge medicine and created it for the union.
Oh, that's great.
So I am the doctor for the plumbers and pipe fitters union here, so the local 525 union, which is great. The awesome part is that the plumbers and pipe fitters, their family, their kids can all see me for free.
Nice.
But the really cool part for me is that I see a patient an hour. So if you're familiar with anything medicine, your girlfriend is in medicine,
mm-hmm.
Right?
That's correct.
Family medicine is so brutal. They try and make you see like a patient every 15 minutes,
wow.
A patient every 20 minutes. And it's just not safe. It's just, I mean, nobody could do it, right? And nobody could do it well. We'll
okay.
Just say that. And so I was really, really, really lucky with this job. It's been a blessing. It's so good. And they, yeah, my schedule's fantastic. I don't even want to tell anybody about this job because I don't want anyone to take it from me. But it's so good. It's, yeah, so it's so good.
That's amazing.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like a good job. And you get breaks in between, I guess. If there's like a 10-minute little a kid, you're like, done, get out of my way.
It's so great. And you know what? Honestly, I mean, I negotiated my schedule. So my schedule is very different than most family docs. So with all things growing on social media, and I really just wanted to kind of expand. I've never just wanted to be like stuck in a tunnel, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't want to just do one thing. I want to do all the things. And so I negotiated my salary. So I only work 2 full days a week at the clinic. So Monday, Wednesday, I work full days. And then Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm off at 11:30, which is why I'm able to come here and do
right.
These fun things.
Great.
Which is, yeah. And there was a little bit of hemming and hawing at first. They were not super okay with it. But I said, you know what? This is what I'm going to bring to the table. I know I'm a good doctor. And if you want me, this is my schedule.
That's amazing.
So it worked. It worked really, really good.
So what
yeah.
Do you do with your spare time then? What do you like to do then? I mean, if you have,
I don't have spare time.
Okay,
I need to go find
around.
Some spare time.
Yeah.
That sounds great. No, I think the biggest thing. So I have been a beauty counter consultant for 5 years. So I do that. So I help people just with clean skincare and just kind of creating recommendations from my physician background. And then working with Beauty Counter for the last 5 years. I do various like brand deals. I'm trying to build this social media. I'm trying to do TikTok, but I keep forgetting. And then I'm trying to work out. And I just recently started lifting weights because I was so intimidated by everyone that lifted weights. And I was like, screw it. I am not going to be intimidated ever again and right. not let anything scare me. So I actually have a trainer over here at like one of the gyms, Fit Club LV. And that's where like all these amazing bodybuilders train. And I was okay. like, okay, if I can do it here and not feel intimidated, I can do this anywhere. So yeah,
is that the big fitness club? What's the big fitness one that I saw that one time?
Lifetime?
That's not the one, right?
No, it's like super small. Oh, got it. It's only for like all these people are like NPC. They're all like, they're like legit
bodybuilders.
It's like, like Jay Cutler and like that whole.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I walk in there and they're like, who's this skinny girl? Good luck. I started at the 5 pounds. We're working our way up. It's good. But it's fun. So okay. Yeah.
All right. You love it?
I do. Good. I do. I love like working out for me is therapy.
Nice.
100%. So nice.
So with the family practice that you're doing, do you get paid, if you don't mind me asking, do they pay salary or do you get paid per patient?
So I get paid salary. Yeah. Okay. So nothing is, there's RVU based, which is like your production. So a lot of companies, bigger companies like Kaiser, I don't even know if they're RVU based. I shouldn't tell lies. But a lot of places are, you're paid off your performance. Mm-hmm. The more people you see, the more you get paid. But the problem is that the more people you see, you're not thorough, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times has the doctor been late into the office?
It's like in and out.
Exactly. And you're like, I didn't even get to talk to you. So we walk in there, we're laughing, we're joking. Like I try and create, at the center of everything, like wellness and health, it begins with your attitude, mm-hmm. right? It begins with your mindset. And so the first person that has to set that precedent is the doctor. How many times has the doctor walked in and they've been so angry or so upset or so stressed or late or whatever's going on? And you're like, well, I don't really want to tell this guy or girl anything, or how am I going to be healthy if they're not, you know?
That's true.
And so I always just try and create such a good energy when I walk in, no matter what's going on, because at the end of the day, I can control how I present myself. And so for me, we sit there for 30, 45 minutes. I learn about family, everything, and then kind of dive into why they're there. So it's just fun. It's good and it's fun. And I feel like that's how medicine should be.
Good.
So more unions should do this for their...
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
How did you choose to become a family practitioner overall?
It was the least amount of years. No, okay. No, I went into family medicine because I was like, man, I love doing everything. So mm-hmm. the cool part is I do some aesthetics on the side as well too. You can do that in family medicine. You can have another life. You can be home for dinner. You're not on call. You're not making $500,000. No, but you have a life and you're happy.
Right.
And so for me, that was like the biggest thing is I said, medicine is not my whole life. It's part of my life, but it's not my whole life. Did I have any idea what was going to happen with social media or with all these other things? No, I had absolutely no clue. But I said, I just want to have a life because I want to be normal.
Okay.
You know? So yeah, so that's, and I couldn't stand for 3 hours, you know, and like work at 2 a.m. Nobody wants me doing surgery on them at 2 a.m. That's like, that is the last thing anybody wants.
She's like, first day of medical school. I can't right. deal, like, okay, she's out.
Yeah.
We all know our limitations.
I don't want her on my team. Right. That's so funny.
Yeah.
So what took you in now? Let's talk the path. You just mentioned social media. Let's talk mm-hmm. the path on how you started doing social media and love, because you have amazing numbers and everything as well. And we talked about this a little bit here, but please explain a little bit to the audience on how you got started.
Yeah. So I actually started Instagram back my first year of medical school. So that was like probably 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I started posting in residency actually like about the struggles in residency. So a lot of people don't talk about it. Like you're supposed to work 36 hours and you're supposed to be as sharp as you were hour one at hour 36 and you've had no sleep. And that's not attainable.
Yeah.
It's not safe. I mean, that's how patients die. That's how the suicide rate in residency is crazy high. I mean, the physician suicide rate is getting higher. The physician, you know, abuse rate in terms of drugs, alcohol, or whatever you want to pick is getting higher because these work hours are crazy. And so I started talking about it, not really for anyone else, more for me, more to feel not alone. Like I was like, I cannot be the only one that's struggling in residency that feels like it's not worth it. But then you feel stuck because you've got all these student loan debts and you're like, well, I have to continue with this, right? And so I started talking about that on Instagram and that kind of grew it a little bit. And then I just started sharing my life from there as being a young female in medicine and a predominantly male dominated career.
Mm-hmm.
And then, remember when Reels started happening?
Yeah.
I did a Reel that was, it was cheeky because I'm a little cheeky. And it was a Reel that said, it was like, because I didn't change my last name when I got married. I kept Culver's my maiden name.
Okay.
And the reel was like, you know, when people ask me why I didn't change my last name, because my husband didn't go to medical school, which is a little cheeky, right? Maybe that's why I'm divorced now. But I was like, and so then Kristen Bell ended up sharing it on her Instagram, and it went viral. Yeah, and then this thing, I was like, well, these reels are really working, so I guess I'll just keep doing it. And I kept doing reels, and then one actually went viral, and it was talking about how you can be an attractive woman and have an amazing career, and they don't have to be two different things. Like, they are, you can do them together, right? And so this one like went viral, and Australia, New Zealand wrote an article on me, and then the Daily Mail wrote an article on me, and then the New York Post wrote an article on me. It was crazy. So from there, that kind of grew social media. And then honestly, my divorce actually grew a lot of it at that point. Probably half of it has come, or a good two thirds of it has come after that.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Why do you think that is?
I think because I was vulnerable. I think because we see so much, you know, filtering, faking, like all these things on social media about how your life is perfect. I've got 2.5 kids, a white picket fence, and my marriage is perfect, and we never fight, and we have sex all the time, mm-hmm. right? And you see that on social media. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to see that. And a lot of people had followed my marriage. They knew my marriage was, you know, long distance. They knew that he was in physical therapy school and all these things. And so I think that because I finally was very real, and I was like, I've been miserable. I have not picked myself. I have ignored red flags. I have let myself get into a position that I never thought I would be in. And then I just started sharing about the trials and tribulations of divorce. And mine was really messy when it didn't need to be. And it was really, really, really brutal. And like we said, I would go on social media after emotions sometimes because I would just get like, man, his female attorney was brutal. I would get like
two. Was it here?
It was in Vegas. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I got divorced here, which is a community property state. And I didn't have a prenup because I got married and had nothing. And so I watched this guy come after everything that I. So we separated. There was an incident that once that happens, there's no coming back from. And at that moment, once that incident happened, and I can't legally talk about it because there is stuff that he put into the final marital thing that some details can't just be spoken right. about. And I'm not trying to get sued again. My goal for 22 is not to speak to any lawyers.
We don't want you to do that either.
But so there's an incident that happened that you just can't come back from. And that at that moment I said, I'm not going to let myself stay in this marriage. I'm not going to let myself stay in a marriage where I'm being told I'm not wanted, where I'm being told that I'm not attractive, where I'm being told that there's, you know, that I work too much, or just constantly being put down as opposed to like being praised and lifted up.
Yeah.
And so I said, I don't want to have lawyers involved. You can have the car that I bought. You can have some money like to get started, but you are a physical therapist. You know, you have a great career.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks later, he served me in my driveway. And because I was like, I don't want to get lawyers involved. I don't think we need to have lawyers involved. There's three
assets. You don't need to.
No. And at that point, I was like, I thought I was protected because I bought the house and my name was the only one on the title. Both vehicles I had purchased and I was the only one on the title. Not here.
Yeah.
And because this to this day will like haunt me for the rest of my life was the fact that I used community funds made during the marriage to buy these assets. So they are community property. And I was like, but we never, and I used to argue this and my lawyers probably just were like, girl, get it through your thick head here.
It was like,
okay, you didn't protect yourself. And I had no idea that
but
I
how
didn't
you
protect.
When they say you protect yourself.
Like I had no idea. And you also don't expect a 3-year marriage.
If she was in another state, it would have been a completely different ballgame.
Right. Yep. But, and so he used laws that were created for women that stayed home and raised kids.
Okay.
And he used them to come after half the assets, everything I owned.
That's a good lawyer.
And she
who was the attorney? Can
Jennifer Abrams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
She's brutal. I mean,
most of
when people ask me for a divorce attorney, don't recommend mine. I recommend her. I go,
she's her.
She's a pit bull.
Yeah. I don't know at the end if I hated my ex or more or her. I couldn't tell.
Medina's like this in photos. She's like, see my pockets? Yeah. Go to her.
I know. Yeah, it was crazy. And so there was hearings and there was like he knew everything of what to do. It was
she knew everything.
She did.
He didn't.
Yeah. And so I had to like pay his health insurance. I had to pay his car registration. He could drive the car that I bought. It was all these crazy things. And then it just like kept getting worse because it was like I was deposed on our wedding anniversary, mm-hmm. which was the worst way to spend a wedding anniversary because you're still technically married in the state of Nevada until everything's done.
Yeah.
So everything I was doing with my business to try and stay afloat, to pay all these bills, to like keep myself going, everything was still half his. And so I remember after the deposition, I thought I did great. Because it was like a 4-hour deposition. Yeah. I thought, I was like, oh, I did. I think I did really good, you know, and which is good as you can feel after a deposition. And I remember his attorney was like, we want $400,000 from her. And I was like, what?
Wow.
And so we had tried to like mediate and to settle. And that moment was like, I remember being like sitting in my house by myself with my dog, but I was sitting there and I like sank to the floor. If you've ever had that feeling where your legs completely give out, and I just sank to the floor and I sobbed. And then two houses down, my ex was partying at my neighbor's. And I was like, I don't even know what to do. Wow. It was insane. And so that went on and on. At some point I had to pay him spousal support for a couple months because the judge ruled that I was, he was entitled to the life he was used to. And so,
come on.
And there was no kids. Yeah. And so I watched all this happen. I watched the law basically allow this 40-year-old man who's a doctor of physical therapy, which all of a sudden during the divorce, he didn't want to claim he was a doctor, but a doctor of physical therapy come after. And the law was like, yeah, that's yours. You know?
Who was the judge?
Oh, I don't remember. It was an older white man.
So
it was
we
an older.
Know
it was
not to vote for. His
I know
here.
It was an older. It was a middle aged, like older white guy, which I thought would have been on my side, yeah. But it wasn't. And so at some point, I was paying spousal support, and I was like, I can't keep going. I can't keep doing this for my emotions because I was still practicing medicine. At that point, I had asked my job. I had to scale back my hours because I just couldn't do it. I just was like, I need time.
Right.
And
it's like a whirlwind right
now.
Why are
you responsible for paying for him when he is a grown ass man capable of working and supporting himself?
Exactly. And that was my thing. And I go, why is this law allowing this to happen when there are no kids and he's not disabled?
Right. And this is across the board, not just for a man, but for a woman as well.
Exactly.
Like if you are in your own career, then you be responsible for yourself when you separate and you don't live off someone else.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Like it makes no sense.
That's what
to
I was
me.
Telling.
And the law is so unjust.
It
it's
is.
Ridiculous right. And it needs to be addressed.
And
it's
amazing
okay.
How many people think that they're entitled to what they haven't earned. I wasn't
yes.
raised that way.
I was not raised that way
exactly.
either.
And I'm like, I could never imagine taking someone else's, you know, belongings
that, you didn't
that
earn.
I didn't earn,
exactly.
that I know I didn't. I mean, mm-hmm. he didn't even pay a gas bill in the house, you know, well, and so it was crazy.
So let me ask you this. Yeah. So how was his well-being at this point in time? Was he just like, was he like, I just can't talk to you during this? No, no, I want to know. I want to like, is he allowed? Did you guys reach out between those times? Could he
no.
talk? Did he go, I can't talk to you about this right now. Just go through the lawyers. Was it that kind of thing? Or
yeah.
was he like?
It was nasty.
He was never like remorse. You could never
there
see
was never like you had sex.
No,
I
actually,
you know what
I
mean?
I actually like, at one point begged him at like probably 2 weeks after he served me, I begged for him to take me back, which is,
okay.
which you look back and you're like, oh my
yeah,
God, Medina,
like,
I hate admitting
here?
That. I'm like, oh, it's gross.
right.
Ugh.
I mean, it
but
happens.
No, it was so, I mean, the relationship had been so skewed and there was so much resentment built in the relationship that it was great that we separated, but it just didn't need to be as nasty as it was.
Of course.
But yeah, we ended up mediating 8 months later, but if not, it was going to go to trial. And yeah. I was like, I can't, this is crazy for
you
this
mean
to go
you
to trial.
If you didn't solve
she
it in
settled.
Mediation.
You basically settled okay. then.
I settled,
and
yeah.
And gave him what he did not deserve.
Correct.
To save your own peace of mind from having to go to trial.
And to be done. And to stop the spousal support because you don't get credit for spousal support.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
So the longer yeah. he drags it out, the more he gets to continue to collect.
Gotcha.
Yes. Yes. And so there was like threats. If I didn't pay the spousal support by certain times, he was going to like cancel the mediation. It's a classic narcissist, right?
Okay.
It's a classic narcissist. And so, but you had to play the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you had to play the game or my livelihood depended on it.
What do you think it would have happened if it would have went to trial? What do you think you would have been off? Would it have been something similar that you owed him or?
You know, his attorney didn't show up for mediation.
Okay.
She sent in someone else.
Of course
which
she did.
The mediating attorney actually told me that was the best thing that could have ever happened to me.
Oh, wow.
He said, because she would not have let you go out of this room without at least a two in front of that six-figure number. And I got it. Less than that, it was still six figures.
Yeah.
But he goes, she wouldn't have let you walk away without that. He goes, she would have fought on a lot of issues that the other attorney kind of lets go.
And this was the mediator saying this.
This was the mediator mm-hmm. saying
wow,
that.
Wow, man.
Yeah. And it's crazy. You're sitting in this room, and I was, and there was, the mediating attorney was this, you know, older white guy, and my attorney was an old white guy. And they're like, you know, you're sitting there, and they blatantly said to me, and you, I'm sure you'll relate to this, but like from my angle, they were like, oh, someone like you usually doesn't end up in this position. someone that looks like you. And right. I was like, and I think probably three or four times throughout the mediation, there was comments on like my looks and how my looks, you know, someone that's this pretty, you'll be fine. I was like, are you kidding me?
About it. Right.
I know. And they're like,
you'll bounce back.
You'll be fine. But you're a pretty girl. You're going to be fine.
Meanwhile, she's like recording this going, I know where all this money's coming from.
I know.
Half from you, half from you, and half from you.
I was like, this is crazy. No. So it was one of those moments where one of them looked at me and he was like, because I actually almost hired the mediating attorney as my attorney, but I couldn't afford his retainer. And he goes, I really wish that you would have hired me for your case. And I go, well, this is your chance now to get me out of here without, mm-hmm. This insane amount. But yeah, you just sit there and you have to fight for yourself because no one else is going to fight for you.
Right.
And it was crazy. I mean, he came after my social media stuff. He came after, the business that I started, the businesses that I do there, even just like consulting for like CBD companies. I had to like have all these, it was crazy. It was absolutely insane.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So after everything was said and done, the day you went home and cried, was that when you signed everything that day?
Is oh my God, I cried so many times. There were so many times I cried.
My question is, how did communication after that? I'm sure you had to. None. Okay. Cause everything was moved out and everything as well.
Like, no friendship. Okay. He still lives in the city, but I actually, that is incorrect. I had to see him because he, on top of the cash settlement, the car, and half my retirement, which you don't realize that they're entitled to half your retirement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had to give him, this was like where he really wanted to stick me. Yeah. I had to give him the couch and like a TV.
See, that's petty. That is like so petty.
He was like demanded. Like we weren't leaving there until he got a couch
that's
and
petty.
A TV.
That is
and
really
I was like,
petty.
Bro.
Go buy your own damn TV.
They're $800 at Costco. And I'm still paying for the Costco membership. So go for it. Like before I kick you off of it.
I would have been like this. Waterfoot. There's your damn couch.
No, actually, so I had started like kind of dating at
Please
that point.
Please tell me you fucked on that couch.
100%.
Good for you.
Here you go.
I know.
There you have 100%. It, folks. From a Dr. Medina Culver. She says it all.
I was like, that is exactly this. What I did.
Nice. Yeah,
I love it.
And I was like, God, are you
fucking
serious?
Fucking enjoy that couch.
I was like, enjoy it. Have a
well
moment.
Played. Well
yeah,
played.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. It was good.
Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by our partnership with Athletic Greens.
All right, so Jamie, I'm a tennis pro, right?
Yeah.
So I'm on court up to 10 hours a day, and I don't really get the nutrition and vitamins that I need throughout the day. So I've always been looking for this multivitamin that I've wanted to use, and I can't find anything out there until I discovered AG1 from Athletic Greens. It has 75 vitamins and minerals and probiotic stuff in there that I need to get me energized through the day. It helps me to sleep better. It also helps me recover easier. And it's just, quite frankly, good for your healthy lifestyle. And if you have a keto diet, gluten-free or dairy-free, it just works. So I'm a fan of this.
And it's one scoop in a cup a day,
One scoop
right?
in a cup a day. I put in my water bottle all the time.
Do you like the way it tastes?
I do like the way it tastes. Sometimes I add a little bit of apple juice, but I love it.
So now for our audience out there, to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/dateintel. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/dateintel to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Trust me, guys, you're going to love this vitamin pack. It's easy with just one scoop a day in your water and you're good to go.
Love it.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. All right, so let's talk about, we're going to jump to our episode because this now we're going to get to the next chapter of your life. And this is the topic today, guys.
It's so
called
many chapters.
Diversifying divorce. After divorce, can you show a great deal of variety, expand your POV, and be open to something new and different? Are you actually ready for a change? In other words, are you willing to be open to new things in your life?
100%.
So, yeah, 100%. You are for sure. So please tell us after that. So now we're getting to that part, the next chapter. So having sex on his couch, you met someone new. Where do we go from there? Like this was.
I was not ready to date at all. So there was so much. I mean, I was so emotionally scarred. I just wanted someone to love me. Mm-hmm. I wanted in that moment. I was still seeing a therapist. I was still like doing my life coach, and I just wanted someone that wanted to be with me because for years, I mean, I remember a birthday trip. My ex told me, "I'm not attracted to you. I don't want to have sex with you." And so for years that happened, and I let myself get into these situations because of stories we tell ourselves, right? So it's like, my whole life I told myself I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not whatever enough. And it was great for my career because it got me to where I needed to be at, 29, and it was awesome. But then for my personal life, it completely derailed my personal life because I was sitting here telling myself that this horrible guy across the way or that I was married to was
who should be supporting
was all
you,
I was gonna get. Was and I but I told myself, I was like, well, this is as good as it's gonna get. I mean, I'm, 32 years old now, I'm not gonna find anybody else, and I'm like washed up, and so this is all I'm gonna have. And that was what I was telling myself. And right. that's why I stayed. That's why I got married. In all honesty, there were so many red flags that looking back, I was like, oh my God, Medina. But there, you don't, in that moment, you're just so lost. And you yeah. just want someone to care about you, because it took me 33 years to finally be happy with myself. And I finally realized, I was like, I had let someone else control my happiness for years. And so I did coaching, I did therapy. I really kind of like broke it down. And I tell people, I go, divorce, as you guys know, it breaks you down into this like very, very basic, you know, very basic building blocks. And it's your choice how you're going to build that person afterwards.
Right.
And so a lot of people call it the next chapter. And I'm like, it's not another chapter. It's a whole new damn book.
I don't call it the next chapter. I call it diversifying divorce. You hear that, people? There's no new chapters. Diversifying divorce.
But yeah. So, and I just was like, I had to build it up, but I had to build it up in the way that I felt strong and confident as a woman. And that like at 33 years old, I was like, okay, I can walk into a room and know that, you know, stand tall and not feel like I don't belong and not feel scared and not feel anxious. And I could walk in and say that I deserve everything and not be ashamed of it, you right. know, and
go after what I want. How long did that take you, though? Like you said, like, what was that period of like that? I'm going to, sorry to say this,
no, you're
I'll call it the wallowing period. Yeah. Like, when did you finally say, I need to get out of this shit?
The wallowing period, I don't let myself wallow that much.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's good for you.
Yeah.
I think you can like sit in it and you can be with it and you can mm-hmm. be angry. But I think if you let it take over your life, I think it can completely derail you. And I think it derails your progress at the end. And so I let myself feel bad for myself. And then probably like a month, we'd already done therapy, and probably like a month later, I just started with a new therapist.
Okay.
After he served me, because I still had to practice medicine, right? So I still had to go in every day to a clinic, and I had to see these patients, and I had to like, you know, listen to them while my world was spinning out of control. But also, if I mess up, it could be someone's life.
Yeah.
And so I realized that. I said, I have to make sure that my mindset is good. So I started right away, just kind of into that breakdown mode. And there was, you know, steps back okay. throughout the way.
Of course there are.
But sure. it was probably like a solid 10 months of doing coaching, therapy, and all of that to finally feel like I could like breathe, like okay. I could exhale again.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the guys, like, sorry, I'm saying guys, your
my mouth yes, opens. Sorry. I'm like,
I backtracked. So I don't know any other way to say this. So the people that you explored within that little realm of yeah. your, of that, like that gray area, like, yeah. You know, there's always fillers. I understand that yeah. and everything. How did you remember? Cause you just said you just wanted someone to love you. Da, da, yeah. da, da. Of course that. And we always want to have that validation and that affirmation. I get that.
Yeah.
How long did those last, or how long did that last? I should say. So I'm not trying to use the plural.
No.
I'm just trying to like find a way to say it the right way without. Yeah, stop looking at me. I'm trying to ask the right question without trying to go. So how many people did you play with, Medina?
I had a lot of fun.
I
was like, you know what? I said, I'm 32 and I'm not ugly, and why the fuck not?
Right.
You know? And I was like, I'm safe about it. And I'm not looking for a relationship.
Good.
And so it was, yeah, it was a good time.
So what I was yeah. getting at of saying that reason why is because I feel like everyone needs that time to explore that, because it actually, you either gonna, like you said, you're either gonna stay in it, or you need to get the shit out of it and yeah. just get out of your system and find out what you want to do now. What's the next step is what I was getting at. So
the next step. The next yeah. step for like my dating intelligence life.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that a little bit as well, but we're still on diversifying right now. So no, I'm kidding. So I like the fact that you went to therapy right away.
Yeah.
I like the fact that, you know, obviously it sucks that you still have to go to work, because we still have to live our everyday life and still get through our job and whatever yeah. we need to move forward. But I'm sure you went home and probably wanted to dive into like some wine or whatever, bad movies, whatever it is, you know.
I'm sure you did that.
But
it's
once
a lot
again,
of wine consumed.
Like once again, what was the pivotal moment, or was, do you think it was therapy, or did once again, because I know you said you don't wall and stuff for very long, but you had to make a physical change and say, stop, this is what I need to do now. Take one step at a time and do it.
It was actually probably when I had a random 5-week sabbatical that I ended up going back to Montana, which is where I'm from.
Okay.
And so during all this, we were talking about the private practice that I was working with, they ended up stealing money from me at the time during my divorce. And so, yeah.
Just it was double hit.
2021 was really good.
Okay.
Like a crush that year. and so.
See ya, 21.
So I resigned from them, and I thought, and so I gave them 30 days. And I was going to start my job that I'm at right now.
Okay.
I was going to start that job 2 weeks after my 30 days. I was going to give myself like 2 weeks off, right? And they accepted my resignation effective immediately.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, well, there's 5 weeks that I didn't know I was going to get off. So I kind of realized, I was like, I'm not going to sit at my house for 5 weeks, you know, and just play with my dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually drove home to Montana, and it was the best Montana for me, I could never live there again permanently, but for Montana for me is such a reminder that everything is so simple. We overcomplicate so many things. And at the end of the day, it's all just about being happy. It's all just a being, we think all these material things make us happy, but it's like just being there, being around my parents who are my best friends and who just celebrated their 49th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I know, they're amazing. Wow. They're so cool. They have no grandkids. Those poor, poor people. they only have granddogs. But no, so they just talked to me, and I cried to them, and I remember being terrified, and I remember, you know, they were like I just like let it out. And my dad looked over and he goes, if you can keep this settlement, you know, under 200, he goes, I have you.
Okay.
Because I have your back.
That's amazing.
And I remember being like, oh my God, you know, because you're trying to feel like, do I get a HELOC? Like, how am I going to get all this money?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to pay this guy at 4% interest for the rest of my life. And so I remember he was like, and I'll never forget that. And that's why, like, no one is as good as my dad. He's like the best, best soul in the world. And he looked at me, he goes, I'll take out a loan for my line of credit. He does real estate. And he goes, loan for my line of credit. He goes, you're the only person I would lend this much money to because I know you'll pay me back. He goes, I also know you have a good job. And yeah. I go, thanks.
What a relief for you.
It was. It was that moment where you're...
Where you're like, I can do this.
You are. Because you're like, you feel so weak and you feel so hopeless. And it was like that lifesaver. And you don't necessarily always want it to come from your parents because you're like, God, am I going to ever like cut the umbilical cord? Like, you know? But then I was like, no, that's why they're here. Like, that's what good people do.
Right.
And there's not a lot of people I trust in the world. My circle's very small. It got smaller during my divorce, but that it was great. It was that life preserver that I needed to be like, I can do this. And then that's when I called him, and we hadn't spoken in months, and I called him, and I 2 hours later, he agreed to a mediation, and we were at mediation 2 weeks later.
Okay, that's great. Wow, that's great.
And it was solved that day. So it was amazing. Yeah, it was 9 hours later, but it was great.
Thank you, parents.
They're great. Yeah, amazing. They're so good. Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, you had said something just now. I was going to ask you about your circle, like of girlfriends or whatever. So you I guess things do split up at that point, but anybody that you had in town that you were?
There was actually, it was a really great thing. There was this group of three women that I'd only been friends with for about a couple of years since I moved to Vegas. Like meeting them through Pilates and stuff like that. And I, had a very, what I thought were very superficial relationships with them. But then when they saw that I was completely, emotional, which I'm usually not, but when I was completely emotional, these women rallied around me. And they would have wine every weekend, every Wednesday at my house. They would come over. It'd just be sweatpants.
That's great.
We'd just talk about whatever was going on in their lives, my life. It wasn't just focused on me, So it was like a chance for me to escape what was going on in my life, too.
Yeah.
And I remember there was moments where I could, call them and I'd be like, I'm struggling. And I could go over to their house or they'd come over to my house. And it was so unexpected. It was that moment where you're like, wow, you never know who's going to show up.
Right.
Because the people that I'd been friends with, people that were in my wedding, my best friend married us. They didn't show up one bit.
Wow.
They didn't even ask how I was doing. And that was that moment that I said, whoa, who have I let into my life out of convenience? And who have I actually, who are these people I've surrounded myself with that aren't here during the low moments and they're only here for the, the parties?
Makes you really think, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
wow.
Lost a lot of friendships, but I found my circle of people I can trust.
I was going to say, I don't think you have any problems meeting any friends. You got a great personality, energy. Yes. So I'm sure
No, it's all caffeine induced. So yeah.
So how are the, how are the dogs, by the way?
Talking
about your dogs.
I do. Yeah. I actually got a puppy during the divorce because I was like, I just need someone to love me.
So 21 was a good year.
21. Yeah. So now I have two golden retrievers. Okay. So there's so much hair everywhere. But no, Zion and Bryce they're the best boys. They're amazing. I actually got Bryce as a backup plan because I was like, already he'll be 7 in a couple months. And I was like, oh my God, you can't die yet. I'm not ready for you to go. I need a backup plan for you. So I got Bryce during it, which was great. So yeah, so two dogs running around.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And basically, sorry, I'm going to ask you this real fast. Because I know we're always sometimes just like, wait. On social media now, you use it for very positive stuff. And your affirmations that you put out there and everything as well. That's just fantastic. So I like the fact that you put yourself out there and you share just those little things go a long way.
I think
a lot of people.
I think, and kind of going back to social media, and we were talking about growth of social media, I shared all of, so everything we've talked about, the reason I talk about it so openly, because people are like, are you uncomfortable with it? And I go, I'm not, because I already shared it.
Yeah.
And so I shared this in front of, tens of thousands of people with what I was going through, where we talked to the point where the judge said, you have to stop talking about your divorce on social media till it's finalized, because my ex felt threatened.
Do you really have to, though?
I was, so my ex was going to report it. because he had friends watching it. So here was the thing that drove me crazy. I could never attend these hearings because I was working.
So the lawyer went,
and I could never defend myself.
Oh, man.
So then I just got all these, and I was like, what? I can't, like, my freedom of speech is being taken away? And I said, I've never even mentioned his name. He's not tagged anywhere. He's not even in a photo anymore on my social media. And what? This is crazy. And so it was, I talked about that. I was like, I can't talk about it anymore.
Okay.
Because the judge said I can't. And, you know, people were like, this is insane. So people watched that whole journey. And I was honest. And I think that, like, people watched me really hit rock bottom. I was not, because I think people are afraid to show rock bottom because it's vulnerable, mm-hmm. and it's scary and it's lonely. But it's really cool because after rock bottom comes, like, a really freaking badass mountain, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you become this really amazing person that's stronger, that doesn't care as much about, like, little things that don't matter, that is just freer in the world. And so I think people have really watched that happen over the last 10 months where it's like, yeah, you know, like, I just bought myself a new car. Like, I'm super stoked about that, you know, or like something like just fun things, like taking care of myself and being positive. But I also had to tell myself every day, whether I believed it or not, I had to be positive.
Yeah.
Because right. No matter what else is going on in your life, if you're not positive, what are you doing? Right?
Right.
Your world can be falling apart, but you have every day, you can choose to wake up every day and say, I'm grateful for these two dogs sleeping next to me. I'm grateful to wake up. I'm grateful to have a job. I'm grateful for family. I'm grateful for, you know, the three friends I have that I can rely on for anything. And that was the moment where I said, I have to start being grateful for those things, because if you focus on all the negativity and everything that's bad that's happening, oh my God, it's going to be awful.
Yeah, you're going to be missing out.
You're going to be
lot.
Awful, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to miss out on so many opportunities.
Yeah.
And so I just want to remind people, like, pick yourself, you know, like, pick yourself first. Be your own happiness. No one gives you happiness. No one creates your happiness. You create your own happiness. And someone just adds to it.
Right.
That's true. That's it. We're responsible for our own happiness at the end of the day.
Agreed.
Completely, yeah.
We can't, like, give that to anyone else or expect them mm-hmm. to make us happy.
Exactly. And there was a moment I'll never forget. My ex told me, he goes, it's not my job to make you feel appreciated. And I was like, oh,
this
I was
guy.
Like, I was like, wait a minute. I thought it was. I thought that was part of marriage.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Like, yeah. What happened to, like, helping you, uplifting
but
it, each
but
other?
But that was a moment where I was like, I have to do my work.
Yes.
Because I hadn't done it.
Okay.
And I tell everyone all the time, my divorce, even though we're talking about this whole thing, my divorce doesn't define me. It was a defining moment, but it doesn't define who I was.
No, that's correct.
And I tell everyone, I go, I wouldn't have done the work. I wouldn't have done the work at all, because I would have just kept going on in my career, just working really hard and just, like, you know, not saying no to anything and just trying to, like, hustle to pay for me and my husband.
Yeah.
And I never would have done the work. And if I never would have done the work, I wouldn't be here today.
Well, also, if you didn't do the work, you wouldn't have another level of growth.
Correct.
As well.
Exactly.
Because, like
yeah.
you said, you know, you thought you'd get married, da 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 da. It's like it becomes this cycle, you know, and
it
you
does.
Can't get out of it.
And then you're just going to find someone who's just like your ex.
Exactly.
If you don't
right.
change, right? And that's
right.
what I love. Divorced people. Divorced people are my favorite people. I only want to hang out with divorced people from here on out.
Hey, yes. You gotta take me. Hands up, girl.
Seriously, it's like you've done the work. You know what you bring to the table, and you're not faking it. You
right.
know. And so many people fake it, but you're like, it's not worth it.
Right.
So I love it, because I know that, like, if someone's divorced, that means they've at least done the work on themselves, because nothing is 100% somebody's fault, right?
That's true.
I had to accept my own faults in that relationship, and I had to figure out how am I going to, in the next relationship that I get into, how am I not going to bring that baggage in?
Yeah.
Because that's like an 80-pound baggage if I'm not careful.
Right. And, okay, so how long has it been really since you've been divorced?
So he served me last April, so and then it was finalized in November.
Okay, so about seven, eight months.
Yeah, that it's been finalized.
And
yep.
then where do you feel like you're at mentally now? Do you think that you're ready to be in another relationship, or are you still just enjoying yourself and your me time?
I'm still enjoying myself. I'm still enjoying my me time, you know, because I can.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to rush into anything. I'm not trying to I just love me. And and it sounds, people are like, oh, that's so selfish of you to say.
Yeah.
And I go, great, it is selfish. Because what's bad with being selfish, right? If you're selfish with your own energy and your own love for yourself, it's not selfish.
Right.
It's
and
great.
Plus, you're not going to be able to give it to the next person the
exactly.
correct way.
And there's walls, right? You,
mm-hmm.
That whole situation created walls. We'd all be sitting here lying to ourselves if it didn't create walls.
Yeah, it's a
and
walls.
Trust
that
issues.
That was like a freaking maze.
Yeah, right? We used to have cornfield mazes
oh
growing
my God.
Up. So that just reminded me of it so much, where you'd get lost and you're like, how do I get out of here?
Like, that whole thing just sounds like a maze of walls. It's like, where are you?
Yeah. So, you know, it was, I have to understand that too. So anything that happens, there's walls up. And they're not going to come down right away, but I also know what I bring to the table, and I'm not going to sit down anymore with someone that doesn't bring the same thing to the table. So,
or more.
Exactly. Yeah. I want someone that's going to motivate me.
Exactly.
I'm not going to drag anybody along. I'm not going to take care of anybody financially anymore. I want someone that's, I'm not asking to be financially taken care of. I'm just asking for someone to meet me at the same level or more, like exactly like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us, I think the majority of people don't realize what they bring to the table, and they sell themselves short.
All the time.
All the time.
I see it every day.
Yes.
Like they, it's like you, they can't even recognize their own worth.
Yeah.
And if you don't see it within yourself, then
how do you
no
expect
one,
someone else to see it? Yeah.
They can't.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And I always say, if you don't bet on yourself, who's going to bet on you?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to call it, you've lost your voice, is what I always say. You know, you can't lose your voice. You have to be able to still always be true to who you are and speak your voice. And if your partner doesn't allow that, then there's something wrong. You know, and not necessarily blame it on your partner, because sometimes people allow themselves to be, take that role.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing too, because you just assume, okay, well, this is my role. This I'm going to be now. I'm going to let the other one take over, da, da, da. And you, all of a sudden you just, you're lost.
You lose yourself.
Yeah.
100%. Mm-hmm. I think one role people allow themselves to take on too easily is the victim.
Yeah.
And that's where I never wanted to let myself go.
Okay.
I was like, I'm not the victim in this. Mm-mm. It sucks. And it's kicking my ass sometimes,
right.
But I'm not the victim.
Okay.
You know?
Now you're like the victor.
Exactly. Right? Oh, yeah. Nice. I like that. That was good. I might use that. That was really good. Yeah. No, and that was the thing is I always say, like, the comeback's better than the setback, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've already come out a huge winner on this one. So now we just got to set you up for the next one. So with that being said, Jamie usually asks these kind of questions, but I'm going to dive in now. So I know that you said you're not completely written that, and that's totally fine, but I'm sure you've probably had some encounters where you've met someone that might be a potential. So how do you navigate that now for yourself?
Oh, such a big question.
Right, especially since
like,
if you
feel... Is there a glass of wine right
now? You know what? Where are you meeting these guys?
So I tried the app for a second. That was terrifying.
Oh, everybody, yeah.
Terrifying.
What app?
Hinder. Or wait, okay. Not Tinder. That's the best name.
Hinge versus Tinder. It's hindering
you guys,
me.
I think we could be on
something. Oh my God, that's a Freudian slip.
It was Hinge.
Okay, what about Raya?
I just heard about this when that girl from Selling Sunset, like, apparently met Ben Affleck on there.
That's what the hell?
Oh, Emma.
I didn't know anything about this.
Yeah, so I can recommend you for that app. It's a celebrity app.
How do people get on these high-level apps and no one ever hears about? There's no list for this stuff.
You need someone to recommend you to get on.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you
can't just sign up.
That's amazing. Because
so it's kind of good.
I had matchmakers once reach out to me.
Like, wait, say that again?
I had matchmakers reach out to me on social media.
Which ones?
I have no idea.
You have to send them to me because I know most of these.
Do you?
Okay. Yeah.
How do you know these people?
I mean, this is what I do.
Single woman, dating a lot.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not ready, but like, thank you guys so much.
It's okay,
so
you have to be hit on. Sorry, I didn't mean to take. I'm taking a squirrel moment. You have to be hit on DMs on your Instagram.
Oh God,
right?
I get marriage proposals on the daily. Like they're uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and like dick
I can only imagine.
It's uncomfortable.
Oh my God, they put that on the DM.
Who leads with a dick pic?
Wow,
who leads
it's
with
so
it?
So disgusting. But I delete and block right away.
Completely.
Like, I can't with the dicks.
It's too much.
I'm like, you don't even have a nice dick. Why are you sending this?
It's really bad.
Or one time I'm not even kidding you. I got a dick pic and there's dirty underwear on the floor and I'm like, I think that's kitty litter on the right side. Like, what the fuck?
Wow.
So I would send them to my friends and I'd be like,
I send them to my gay friend. I'm and like, I'm like, what do you think of this? And
that's he's so, like, yeah, see, it a joke today. Now.
It's so funny.
It becomes a joke now.
It's like the dick of
and
the
do
day.
And do these dudes not think it's going to turn out to be a joke somehow, some way, you know? Because it's going to get shown around in a weird way.
I don't know if they can't be serious.
Are they
know.
Serious? Do they think that's how you get somebody?
I don't know. I've always wanted to respond one time and be like, oh, baby, that's such a... You
to
know what I mean?
What,
just to,
respond.
Like, see.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to hi?
Yeah, or like, hey, how are you? Or like, can we just do something normal?
Ooh, maybe you should ask them to send another photo of them because maybe it's like Photoshop shit that's not even the real dicks. You know what I mean? How sometimes
I mean,
that
I
happens.
Feel like if you're going to send a fake one, you at least pick a nice fake
okay,
one.
Okay, well, I'm...
You don't get a good but, dick pic.
Yeah, okay, I don't know.
Like, do you get like selfies? Like they send you... like.
Uncomfortable.
It's so uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. It's like
okay, just for the record, ladies, on my Instagram social,
really
I have a lot
difficult.
Of followers and no one sends me
think
shit.
People are weirdos.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is like you have to be, I think, like, because you have a huge social media.
Yes, so, she does.
Yeah, you have a huge, like, amazing social media. Like, props, like, let's take 5 seconds. Yours is amazing. It's so good.
Thank you.
And so I was like, I remember when you reached out, I was like, oh my gosh, she has 1 million followers. Oh my gosh. So, like, I was like, wow, I've really made it in the world. But no, it's like, men are intimidated by that. Men are intimidated by social media. Men are intimidated by success. A lot, not everyone. It's a generalization, but I think that that's what you run into too.
Yeah.
Is that they're intimidated by it and they don't know how to handle it.
Not this guy. I love it. Bring it on. Bring it on, people.
Yeah.
I like a very strong woman who knows what they're doing. And I say, I'm just like, let's go. Because I feel like it's very confident.
I think, too, they have a hard time. People have a hard time seeing successful women single. So yes. For some reason, they feel bad for me, or they'll be like, I hope you're not there alone. It makes me feel so bad for
you. You mean the women saying that or the guy?
Women
both.
Too.
Oh, women. Both. Yeah. Right. Yeah,
that is actually so true.
Like,
yeah,
you're in Hawaii by yourself. Like, that makes me so sad for you. And I'm thinking, I'm so fucking excited.
Yeah, right?
I can get up when I want, liberating. Do what I want. If I want to get
where
up at
would
3
I want?
A.m., hike, yeah. Yeah. Where would I want?
It's becoming a show, people. I'm excited now.
It's so true, though, but I think that goes back to people are afraid to be alone.
Yep, that's
people
true.
People are terrified to be alone. That was the thing. I had to sit with myself. When are we taught to sit with ourselves?
I'm very bad at it.
So I've gotten so comfortable sitting with myself that I think that I open up to, like, less and less, because I'm so comfortable in my own skin and in my own space. That it's like, you really have to wow me for me to even kind of give you the time of day now, because
come out of that. You're right.
Because I'm just in such a good space, like mentally, physically, spiritually, like all the areas. So what are you bringing to the table? Because I'm in such a great space.
And I think that's great. Imagine if more relationships started that way. Imagine if more relationships were like, I'm in a great space. What are you going to add to it? Like, how are we going to grow together? Yeah.
But people are afraid of that.
Yes.
And women don't like to say that. Like, what are you going to add to it? But I have no problem.
Why are women so, like, people always ask, like, I negotiated my salary because I was like, this is what I deserve. If you guys aren't going to pay me, I'll walk away.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like, why are women so afraid to do this? Why are we afraid to be like, this is what I offer? And I tell people, I go, people ask for a female physician more than male physicians. So I want to be paid, if not the same, more than my male counterparts.
You know your worth.
I love it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's so true. Like, women just don't realize, I think, a lot of the time what they bring to the table. And I think some of it's marketing. We're supposed to look a certain way. We're supposed to act a certain way. We're supposed to be a certain way.
Well, your lawyers told you that.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And so it's like, I think you're so spot on with that. But I think that's so cool, too, is that you can sit by yourself with yourself and you have everything you need. That's huge.
I don't really think that I need a lot at all. Yeah. I don't require a lot. I don't have an attachment to things, but I have like a passion for life and adventure.
Which is amazing, which is exactly how it should be. Like, that's so cool. Yeah, and it's like, I'd rather travel by myself or with, like, great friends than travel with a significant other, you know?
Yeah, it's...
But because also when you get bloated after vacation, you don't have to, like, have sex. Like, it's so much easier. Like, you know, it's like, it's just, I would rather travel with people that bring good energy. And that's another thing. I can feel people's energy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've always felt this. Like, I always know instantly if I'm going to like somebody. Like, instantly. It's so weird. And so I was like, if someone doesn't bring good energy into my life, they're not in my life.
I'm out.
I hear you on that.
Yeah. I'm done. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I walk away. Like I've told you before, like, I could talk to someone, all of a sudden, like, I'll just walk away, because it's like, it's rare, but it's like, it's not worth my time anymore.
Exactly.
My time is too valuable.
And that's the hugest thing, right? It's like, we're so afraid to say, like, my time's valuable. I'm not going to spend it here.
Yeah.
Why? Right. Why are we afraid to say that?
Yeah, I'm not.
That's a good one.
I love it. No, I love it. It's so good.
Because
so
you know good. Who you are now, and you spent time by yourself now. That matters now. You don't need anyone else. Like you said, you don't even need a guy. It's like the guy should be complimenting you more than anything else. You know, that's what I love about your life right now. Any guy that you're with should always be just a compliment of enjoying the life that you live and being a part of it.
Yeah.
So, and it's not easy for most guys, because we want to take control, and it's like, just sit back, you know, be a man or do whatever you need to, but just allow both people just to finally find, let her be her, let me be me, and just enjoy life.
Yeah.
And it's not like, a competition.
No. And it's like, if at some point you cross paths with someone that's like really amazing, awesome. The universe, whatever's going to happen is already, I totally believe, is already predetermined. The universe is going to, like, it's all going to work out.
It'll work out. You got this. Yeah. So sure. Yeah. It's totally like how I said, I'm laughing at her. I got on, what is Hinder?
I'm gonna create a new dating app.
I got on Hinder once right after I got divorced as well. And like after my second date, I pulled, I found this girl, I like that on Hinder.
Hinder. And, it's addicting.
It matched up really well because I felt like I lost my worth. Being married for 17 years, I didn't know who I was anymore because of breaking out. I didn't know if I was still relevant. I didn't know if I was good looking. I didn't know anything. All I just knew it's like, you know, that and friends or whatever. So when I stepped outside of that world and just being vulnerable again, this girl that I went out with for the second person on that date, we matched up well, more physical than anything else. And I dropped her off at her place, you know, after the bar and restaurant. And I said, okay, bye, da-da. I went 3 miles up the road, started crying. I pulled over and started crying because I was like, what does this mean for me now? Like, I cried because I was relevant. I did matter. I still had something.
Yeah.
And it really helped me and it empowered me again as well. And that from that moment on, it just kind of soared. And thank goodness I found, you know, the girl probably who I've been with for almost 5 years now, about a week and a half after that. So it's That's been amazing. An amazing run. Yeah.
People are like, aren't you afraid you're going to be alone forever? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is that the worst thing that could happen
no,
to me?
No, it's not.
Like,
it's
not. Is that
I don't even think that way. Do but you think that way?
At first I did. At first I did, to be totally transparent. At first I was like, terrified. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be alone. But then I was like, wait, I actually really like myself. And I was like, I'm okay. Like, I'm okay. And so now I don't even worry about it. Like, now I'm not like, oh God, I'm in my 30s. Like, I better start freezing my eggs. I better start doing all these things because I'm going to be washed up in no time, you know?
No,
but I was like, no, I don't think that way. Like, this is my 30s have already been, just this last 8 months, it already feels like the best year of my life.
That's great.
You know? And so it was like, no, I don't feel that way anymore at all. I did at the beginning, though. For sure, I did at the beginning.
Of course.
Until I, like, actually felt very, very secure with who I was and just happy by myself.
But you also know this, too, you saying that. Like, I find that you know, you said something really great there, that you surround, all of a sudden, the people from you deciding that, you'll find the right people that surround you who will just be appreciative of you and no matter what capacity.
Isn't it so cool who you meet?
Yep.
Like, it's so cool. Like, when you actually just are your authentic self and you put it out there, it's so cool who you meet.
Right.
Like, it's so awesome. I wouldn't be sitting
you've
here.
You've raised your vibration, and that's what you're attracting.
Yeah. And you're like, you so meet people, and you're like, oh my God, you guys are so cool.
Right.
Like,
they could be married. They could be married. They could be single. They could be dating. But they all love you for you, and they could care less what you did. You know, they're not going to judge. They're not going to, like, say, well, maybe you should, like, you can be by yourself. That's crazy. They all just want to just have you be your best.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. See, Jamie? See how this goes. Take some notes over here, Jamie.
I see.
Jamie's the inspo. You're crushing it. You're doing amazing.
Jamie
doing
is crushing amazing. It. She's crushing it.
No, she's
one thing about her, and it's been a year since we've almost had the show together, but one thing about, actually, probably when this comes out, it'll be a year. We'll be together for a year.
Yeah.
It's but one thing about her, from your growth since we started this whole thing, it's been an amazing ride. Like, she's just been more open and just more hurt your energy and just you about you being open and honest to who you are and being able to share. It's just been an amazing ride in itself. And I love seeing her growth as a friend and as a co-host and everything.
I'm like a little more private with, I think, certain aspects of my life, but I've learned to share and be a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
But I feel like more than anything, my kids put pressure on me oftentimes. Mm-hmm. Like they say, Mom, you're going to be alone. And I'm like, so what? Like, I'm having such a great time.
You're always
going
to have them.
It's okay. Yeah.
They're not going to be alone.
They're like, well, we're worried. Like, what are you worried about? Like, I've had you guys since you were kids. And look, like, because they were little when I divorced their dad. But I'm like, I've always kind of been on my own. And they're like, well, when we move out, we just don't want you to be by yourself. And I'm like,
you're like, I can't wait for that day.
Yeah, I was like, I'm actually excited. So they moved out.
You know the funny part? But she's like, see those streamers in that cabinet you always wondered about? Those are for you when you leave.
We're throwing a party. But I think it's because, like, what you touched on, it's society that thinks that we need a partner or that this is the way it's supposed to be when it doesn't. Like, if we do meet someone along the way, they should be complimenting, adding, or bringing to what we've already created for ourselves.
And I always talk about that because societal pressures are the reason that I got married.
Ugh.
Because, and I go back to that every single time. And I talk about that. Like, I tell people, I go, it's okay to be in your 30s without kids.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yes.
It's completely fine. You're not, like, you're fine. I got married at 29 because of this thought that I was telling myself growing up in Montana. By the time you're 29, everyone's married with at least 2 kids.
Yeah.
So I was already behind in my mind. I was telling myself I was behind. So I was like, okay, I found this guy. He's tall, dark, and handsome, and he's going to be a physical therapist. So he checks these boxes. And yeah, he's an asshole, but whatever.
Yeah. I can deal with that.
Yeah, okay. It'll be fine. You know, we look good in a photo, right?
Right.
And so that's why I got married, is because I was like, I have to get married before I'm 30. Because if I don't, like, I'll be washed up and I'm never going to find anybody.
Right.
I mean, so it's so, because society tells you, you need to be married, you know, by 25, kids by 30, you know, and then, because by 35, it's all downhill for you, you know?
And guess what? I was just about to say, you're just entering your best years of your life.
Yeah, exactly. So. And that's what it feels like, mm-hmm. is it's like, okay, like so I'm not doing what society tells me to do. Great. Like right. The best people don't follow the norm. Right?
And we're talking about the greatest people that follow them.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But we're not rule followers.
Yes, we are not rule followers here.
But yeah, no, I think I hit on that. I think the societal pressures and when you're not following societal norms, I think that people get very uncomfortable with
it. Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's not what they see.
I like actually talking to those people a lot now, because I like
to
see them kind of squirm.
So much from them.
Yeah, they squirm, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's the best watching them squirm. They're like, and you're like, what? And I do this and this. And they're like, and they're like, you got problems? They go, but they can't ever say anything because that's all they know.
I just want to know why. Like, what is, yeah. So I'm always asking like questions.
So I'll break it down really easy, especially for women. Like, there was something that I heard a long time ago where they said that women are, from a very young age, are groomed to be what you just said, you know, mm-hmm. looking for marriage, looking for Prince Charming, looking for this. It's all in like shows, cartoons, whatever it is. It's like,
Disney.
You know,
it's
right.
Media.
You play with dolls. What are you playing house? It's like, you're like, what do? You walk around with a little towel and you're like, oh, when I get married one day and blah. So it's a fantasy already as it is. And it's already instilled in you at a very young age that we sometimes, I mean, it's
called
not even
social conditioning.
Social conditioning, but sometimes it's not even your parents or anyone like that doing it. It's just society, like your friends or, you know, your girlfriends. Hey, let's play. It's like a kid's playing doctor. Let's play doctor. You know, let's play cops and robbers. It's just a part of your life. And I look at a lot of kids, then sometimes even with my own kids, when they're younger, one of the funniest things I ever thought was when they, we were younger and we say a certain line, like, for instance, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. Yeah. I was like, a kid did, and I went, who teaches you that? Like, where does that come from? Like, and a parent doesn't say that to a kid.
Right.
It comes from somewhere. Does it come out of you specifically? I don't know, but I've always been very interested. Where does this nanny, nanny, boo, boo shit come from? I'm just being something as simple as that. Like, that's something
where
that's conditioned. But I look and go, did your friend tell you that? Is that where it came from? Like, I want to know where this came from. And now it's a thing. Or sing song, like, you did this. It's like, is that just you doing that? Or is it learned from an older sibling or what?
Well, I think it all goes back to the parents.
But so the parents don't look at their kids and go, nanny, nanny, boo-boo.
It does. I agree.
Because they're allowing certain, I don't know if I want to say this, but it's so true. Once I couldn't afford, so when I got divorced, I couldn't afford the private school anymore.
Okay.
The private school was so good for my kids because I had so much control. The class size was small. I got to choose the parts of their education, and that's what I paid so much money for.
Got it.
So the second that was taken away, I freaked the fuck out. I'm like, holy shit, my kids are going to be in public school. And even at a young age, I knew I was against the public school system because of my experiences in it, and I just never bought into it. So what I did is I went back to college and I got my degree in education. So I'm like, fuck it. If I can't afford this, then I will be at every school that my child's at.
Right.
So I can figure out who the kids are that I don't want them hanging around and who are the teachers that I want teaching my kids.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. But it's the parents that are, at the end of the day, they're responsible because they're the ones that sit their kids in front of these television shows.
That's
so
true.
This is the stuff that's going through their heads. They're the ones that are in charge of who their kids surround themselves with, and that's who they're learning from, and that's who they're growing from. So it all goes back to the parents.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That is true. Yep.
I completely agree with that. Yeah.
Doctor, do you concur?
I concur completely.
Like, think about it. We send our kids to school for 6, sometimes 8 hours a day. So they have so much influence over our children and what they're learning. We have no idea. Most parents have no idea what kids are they're hanging around during the day. And you think that your kids are going to come home and tell you, but they're not.
Right.
And they don't. So the only way to really know is to be involved. And if I had to do it all over again, I would have freaking homeschooled. And it wasn't until like they were probably in junior high and high school until I was like, you know what? This is a joke and I'm not playing this anymore. You're not going. You're coming with me. So my kids started traveling with me. And that's when they learned, I think it just opened their world up once they started traveling overseas and seeing different cultures. And
still
it just
the best
gives
education.
A sense of like reality.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah.
So. But, yeah, no, I think that's completely true. I think parents these days want to be friends and they don't want to be parents. Mm, right. Yeah. And so like I have one of the best relationships with my parents still to this day. And so it's because they were parents, but they never put these pressures on us. But it's the society, like what you're talking about, that social conditioning, what I saw my friends doing, what I saw my friends wearing, how I saw my friends acting. Because mm-hmm. like my parents, they've never once pressured me to have kids. They've never once pressured me to be married. They've never once pressured me to, you know, be anything that I'm not. And it's always been nothing but support. I mean, I remember when I was 22 and I moved down to Vegas. I actually did medical school in Vegas. And
at UNLV?
UNLV, I feel like I'm dating myself. UNLV didn't even have a medical school at that point.
Oh, okay.
So it was Toro, so it was the DO school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I went here. I remember moving down here at 22, terrified. I'd never been on the freeway. In Montana, when you get on the interstate, you go into a different city.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. I was like, I'm staying in the same city? I was like, this is crazy. But I remember my dad and my mom, they were like, you don't belong here. Like, go see the world. Go challenge yourself. If you fall flat on your face, we will pick you up.
Yeah.
And that was the best support that I ever got. But it was always pushing me to be better as who I was and not to ever be somebody else. But somewhere along the line, social conditioning comes in.
Yes, it does.
And you're spending more time in school and you're spending more time around, you know, these kids. And it just takes over.
It's your peers as well. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So...
Well, you have good parents, so.
I do. I do. They are great.
Sounds parents. Like you do have amazing parents.
Yeah. I have to like plan their 50th next year, which I was like, dang it.
Oh, wow, that's a big one.
I know.
That is a good one.
Yeah. No, sure. they're cool. They got married at like 20 and 21, so poor, had to build furniture. My dad worked in the San Francisco jails. My mom got her CPA at night, and they weren't going to have kids. So they got married, and they were like, we're just going to get married at 20 and not have kids. That's like our
jam. They're the exception to the rule, by the way.
That's
an exception to the rule.
And then it's so mm-hmm. funny. My mom was probably like 34. They'd moved back to Montana. She was the first female partner in this national CPA firm. So my mom is this really badass woman that I got to be raised by. And my dad's this really badass guy that I got to be raised by. But they moved back, and the joke is, we're very sarcastic in my family, so the joke is, my dad's like, well, your mom told me what was involved and how to create a kid, and I agreed to it, and he goes, and here we are, and fuck, here we are.
That's
and
so, hilarious.
But they had me when she was 36, and I'm the first kid.
That's
and
a great
so
age.
And so it was like, mm-hmm. they were like, my mom was like, I want to be a partner, I want to have my shit together, but I also want to have, they were married 16 years
wow.
before they had any kids, so they just got to enjoy each other. And I look back at them now at their, you know, 69 and 70, and I'm like, you guys really did this right. Like, you guys had it figured out. You guys were friends. You guys, you know, created this really cool world before you brought another life into it. And as a result, I grew up in a very stable, very normal, you know, maybe not normal actually, but a very stable, like mm-hmm. loving, comforting. We weren't super rich. We weren't super poor, but it was one of those things. I always had support. They always created open means of communication. I mean, I was 12 years old and my dad would tell me about, you know, drugs. Like, he would have open conversations with me about like things he saw in the jail, and my mom would be like, oh my gosh, Jean, you can't do this to her, you know. And he would, and as a result, I never did anything.
Right.
Because I felt I already learned it all.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that doesn't sound fun. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I don't really want to do that. And, you know, and then my mom was always this like really amazing career woman. And so I had a role reversal growing up. My dad was Mr. Mom. So my dad flipped houses and had a much more open schedule. So he was the one picking us up from school, taking us to soccer and basketball. My mom had this, you know, badass CPA career, and so she was working a lot, and so I had this really interesting dynamic that was different. So yeah, no,
I like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
see,
awesome.
I feel this. I love that. I like when there's more of a dad role like that, because
it's
that's
huge.
What I feel like I have sometimes with mainly with my daughters, even when I was married at the time. But I want to be involved as much as possible in my girl's life, but also be involved in a way that I can share stories that are like or lessons, but not like, this is the way it is. You know,
right.
It's just lessons on, you can choose what you want, but here's what happened to me, or da da da. And I always make a funny story with it to
yeah.
make them laugh and just be like, it's just take it lightly, you know, but be very, just be aware.
And it creates that open line of communication mm-hmm. so that like I can go to them for anything.
Yep.
I mean, I had a one night stand once back mm-hmm. in medical school, and I remember the first person I called were my parents. Like, that's so weird.
I was
so
the same with my dad.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, you guys yeah. will never guess what
yeah.
happened. And
they're like, I love
what?
That.
It's so cool.
It is. It's yeah. so good. And I think it makes such strong women too. If you have a great relationship with your father, oh, I think it's second to none.
All right, I'm on a good path.
Yeah, you're doing great.
You hear that, girls? No, well, don't hear that, girls, on this yet. You still got a little age to grow. So, all right, we're going to get into our question of the day. If you have anything else to say, or are you good?
Question of the day? Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's the question today. You're going to have your first up on this one, okay?
I mean,
you're...
I could definitely ask you a million questions.
We'll do that
sure.
over drinks, all of us, yeah. All right, here we go. Hey, Dating Intel crew, been with you from day one, and the content just keeps getting better and better. So here's one for you. 30-something guy likes older women to have sex with. I feel like it's more of a conquest versus me wanting intimacy. I always tell them that older women just turn me on, but I know that I don't want anything else out of it. Well, with that being said, recently I met this woman who is 10 years older than me, and I think I've fallen for her. She has two kids, but I like her so much it doesn't matter. My question is, how do I follow through with this one and see where it goes without screwing things up? Oh, and it's only been about a month. Yikes. Signed, Cloud 9. It got real quiet, real fast around here. So,
why is he afraid he's going to screw it up? I don't get that. Okay. I don't understand that.
Well, so apparently
it's a confidence thing.
It is.
Which is yeah. Why are we always attractive to women?
It is. Why are we always afraid we're going to mess it up?
Right.
Why not just go in there and be like, I'm amazing and I really like you and let's just do this.
Yeah.
But maybe see, you guys are, well, I'm looking at maybe a little bit more because I'm a guy, I guess, but he's just gone out with a bunch of older women, doesn't want any intimacy. He doesn't want any commitment.
Yeah.
So maybe he's just afraid of that. He's going to, if he starts liking her and gives his all, he might run out on her by just some apparent unknown reason, you know, because he's all of a sudden he gets scared and he just disappears. And now he's not only disappointed her, but maybe the two kids. There's a lot to this little thing
there
right
is,
now.
There is. It sounds like there's a lot of like abandonment issues. And
right.
Why is he running? Mm. Why is he leaving
these
so
are
much?
Cloud, he's on you cloud know? Nine. I don't know. We got to ask these.
I know.
Clouds
cloud
always
nine.
Moving. So.
No, I think anyone that's afraid that they're going to leave has been left before.
I agree. Yeah.
And because you can't have that fear. If we all walk around thinking, what happens if I leave? What happens if you stay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
I think.
That's a good one.
I think that you need to look within and do a little more work on yourself before you can, yeah, because you can't, I feel like maybe you're not ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
But how does he manage that with his feelings if he's for the first time? It just
I would
says,
tell her.
I mean, clearly.
For the first time, he's admitting that he's fallen for someone.
Yeah, so
which
just
means
that's,
having he's being
that,
vulnerable.
That open line of communication
okay. yep.
which, I mean, if he's communicating with us.
Yeah.
He needs to type that paragraph
right?
to her as
right.
a text.
Yeah.
No, I think that's,
I mean,
yeah.
Just a conversation. It's a simple conversation, so much can come from it.
Okay.
If you're open, I think people are so afraid to be themselves that they're afraid someone's going to leave them if they're themselves. But this guy should just say, you know what?
But if she does, what a blessing. Because
exactly.
she's not for him.
Exactly.
Oh, that's true, too.
And that's
yeah.
the biggest thing is like, just say, hey, I've been this way in the past. You're making me feel this way. This is what I'm afraid of. And just put it out on the table.
Right. And she's either going to say, okay, I'd like to explore this with
and
you.
And then
or,
he'll at least
yeah.
know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because or he's going to spend 6 months and have no idea.
Okay. Well, you hear that, Cloud Nine? So you've,
Cloud first, Nine.
You've done the first work. You've communicated to us. Now you need to communicate to her. So you've heard what the two ladies said here. Make sure you communicate with her. Just let her know how you're feeling. And you put yourself out there. It seems like you're already vulnerable as it is, right? So now you've gotten this far. Continue the path. I don't know how long ago this was put out. I got this a week ago. So I'm hoping that you're still maybe with her. But just go for it, man. Just do your thing.
Yeah,
you know?
I always want to hear like the follow-up from some of our guests. So if you guys are writing in questions, maybe send back
send
your...
Send a dick pic to Jamie
no.
and then send the response
no.
is what she's saying.
No,
okay.
No dick pic.
Sorry, Jamie.
Yeah, I would like to hear follow-up on some of our questions.
Okay. All right, guys, you hear that. So, we're putting it out there. We need some. I'm going to put a little thing on social media about that follow-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we've read your question of the day... Like, let us know. Like, did you take our advice? Did you not take our advice? Like, what happened?
And if you're coming after
us,
it's more her than me. It was all her.
Yeah,
actually,
I'm the aggressive
one. Let's just blame it on the guests. They start the
fault.
Answer.
Yeah,
we'll blame it on the guests.
They always answer first.
Yeah, no, I think that was a great answer. So, all right, well, that's it. All right, Medina.
Thank you guys so
okay,
much.
So
yeah,
anything to plug, please.
You.
I know you got a lot of stuff, branding and stuff. Please let us know
God.
What you're doing.
You know what? I'm just doing me.
Okay.
At the end of the day,
right.
like, and yeah, no, I'm good.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I'm so good. Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Jamie?
Well, make sure you guys check out her social media.
It's
we put
amazing.
Her handle up there.
Yeah.
My social media is Jamie_Villamore. And a big shout out to Alani New for always hooking us up with
yes.
our drinks.
Hi, Alani New. All right. You can find me at Fetch Sport or anything at Dating Intelligence. And once again, please, if we're going to do a follow up with some questions, Cloud9, good luck to you. And that is our show today. Dr. Medina Culver, thank you so much for being on our show. You are a bright spot in our day.
Yeah,
thank you
really
guys so much. Oh my gosh, this
out.
Was so great.
Yeah,
so
I'm
good.
Glad you had
so
fun.
Much fun. Yeah,
yeah
amazing.
Good. All right, guys, that's another episode, another day, and another show. See you soon.
Oof.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.